The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does Hebrews 3, 12 through 14 in some way teach about works salvation? In other words, do we have to keep believing in order to remain saved? What is the hardness of heart, the unbelief, and the deceitfulness of sin? Thank you, friend, for joining us today. This is Grace in Focus, a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can learn more about us at our website, faithalone.org. One of the big things that we do is our annual national conference. This year, it is the 19th through the 22nd of May. It is at Camp Copus in North Texas. We will be focusing on free grace and dispensationalism. Get all the details, get registered. The time is approaching. Everything you need at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
I've got a question here from Jake, and he says, "Hi, I'm struggling to understand the context of Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. I can see work salvation is taking these verses out of context to claim you need to keep believing to remain saved. So is Hebrews 3, 12 through 14 saying you have to keep believing to remain saved?"
Well, I hope anyone who has ever listened to anything put out by GES would answer the question, no. You don't have to keep believing, and it's certainly not talking about salvation by works. And so in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, we have one of the warning passages that Hebrews is famous for. And it's talking about what happened at Kadesh Barnea. Right before these verses, he quotes from Psalm 95, David, and he's referring to what happened there at Kadesh Barnea, and he's applying it to his own day. Yeah, let me just go ahead and read, starting in verse 12. "Beware, brethren," okay, right there, boom, brethren. He's talking to believers, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." So believers can have an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God, "but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." So he's talking about unbelief. He's saying that believers can have an evil heart of unbelief. But Jake, when he asked the question, he's saying, is this talking about eternal salvation? And we need to continue to believe in order to be saved. Well, first of all, the people at Kadesh Barnea, it's not that they became unbelievers, even though a believer can deny the faith. The question is, what did they not believe in? What was it that they refused to believe in God? God told them to go into the land and to conquer it. And the spies came back and said, "Oh, we can't do that." God said he'd give them the victory. He'd give them the land. But the spies came back and 10 of them said, "Oh, no, walled cities, giants."
You know what I call that, Ken?
What's that?
I call that grasshopper theology.
There you go.
Because they said, "We're like grasshoppers."
But they did not believe that God would deliver them from their enemies. And in this time of difficulty, in this time of trial, if you will, they were asked to believe that God would defeat all these enemies. And that's what they didn't believe. And they said, "No, we're not going to do it. Let us go back to Egypt." And they rebelled against God. So that's the evil heart of unbelief here. But what is it that they lost? I'll ask you, Bob, what is it that these Jews at Kadesh Barnea lost?
They lost the ability to go into the promised land, and they lost the ability to live beyond 38 more years. Some of them were as young as 20.
Right.
And those 20-year-olds died during the next 38 years. So their lives were cut short. Now, some of them were older, but the only ones that got to go into the promised land who were over 20 were Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who believed God.
Right.
And by the way, Ken, Jacob goes on to ask if we could please explain what verse 14 means of Hebrews 3. That's where he says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And that word partaker, Jake doesn't mention it, but the word partaker is the Greek word metakoi. Well, in this context, it's plural. Metakoi is partakers. The singular is metakos. But in any case, you've written a commentary on Hebrews. What does it mean to be a partner with Christ, one of his metakoi?
Yeah, just as we use the word partner, oftentimes, probably most of the time, to describe someone who's particularly close to us, like he's a partner in the ministry with me, or he's a business associate or something like that. And that's what the word means. It means someone who works with Christ, someone who's a close partner with him, the word metakoi. And so what he's saying is he's not saying we're believers if we hold fast, but we are his partners. We are in the work with him. And of course, what he's referring to here is those who are going to reign with Christ in the world to come.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
In the kingdom, there are going to be those who are closer to Christ than others. Not everyone in the kingdom is going to be equally close to the Lord. And that's what the word means. If I start a business, and let's say you and I do, Bob, and we're partners, we're in it together. You put up 50% of the capital, I put up 50%. We might have other employees and we have other friends, but they're not our partners.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing is true within GES. You know, you and I are like part, I mean, even though we don't own this, it's a nonprofit, but still, we're partners in this ministry.
Exactly.
In fact, what do we call our monthly prayer letter that we send out to all our donors?
Partners in Grace.
Yeah.
And that means this goes out to people who support the ministry or, you know, have said, hey, we really like what you're doing. You know, we want to work with you in this. Those are our partners. We use that phrase all the time. I'll tell you where it's used in the Gospels as well. When Jesus tells the disciples they haven't caught any fish to cast their nets over the side, and they go, well, we haven't caught anything, but okay, if you tell us to do it. Well, when they do, they had so many fish that the nets were breaking, they called the other boat to their partners to help them. These were people that were working with them, that were in the business with them together. And so what the author of Hebrews is saying is, we are partners with Christ. We are working with him. We will reign with him if we hold fast our confidence firm to the end. And of course, the people at Kadesh Barnea are examples of people who did not hold fast. They're not saying they weren't believers. They just said, no, we don't believe that God's going to do what he said.
Yeah, and we see this same thing all through Hebrews, right? All five warning passages urge the readers to hold fast to what they have, to not drift, to not depart.
Right. And here in these verses in Psalm 95 that the author of Hebrews quotes, David applies it to his day, today. So every generation of believers have the opportunity to remain faithful to the Lord in difficult times, when they go through trials, when they're told to believe what God has promised, and God has promised to be with us when we go through these difficult times, and he's going to reward us. And that's true in every generation. Well, at Kadesh Barnea, they were going to be rewarded. If they had been faithful, they would have gone into the promised land. They wouldn't have died in the wilderness. They would have eaten from trees that they didn't plant. They would have lived in cities that they didn't build. There were all kinds of rewards that God had promised them, but they didn't believe it.
Yeah.
And that's what the evil heart of unbelief is. So we could say it that in every generation, what God is saying is to his people, be a partner with me.
Yeah. And by the way, Ken, this word metakoi first appears in Hebrews 1:9. Maybe you could read Hebrews 1:9 and comment on that, because this is another Old Testament quote.
Yeah, and that comes from Psalm 45, where the king is at a feast. And it says in Hebrews 1:9, talking about the king, and obviously this is talking about Christ, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And this is talking about his kingdom is going to be a righteous one, because he's a perfectly righteous king. And then he says, therefore, God, your God, here's God the Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. It's going to be a time of rejoicing when the kingdom begins. More than your, now in the New King James Version, it says companions, but that's the word, as you mentioned, metakoi, more than your partners. And that's talking about at this feast, the king is going to have close, intimate partners or companions who are going to rule with him. And that's what's going on in Psalm 45 as well. And an analogy would be, I'm a citizen of the United States, but I can't go to the White House and have dinner with Donald Trump. Who has dinner, you know, a state, if there's a state dinner at the White House, for example, who's there sitting with Trump at dinners like that?
The metakoi.
The metakoi, his partners, you know, all the people we see on TV, right? Hegseth and Steve Miller and the people who are close to him, people who work with him, people who helped him get into office. Those are his metakoi. Those are his partners. And that's what's going on in Psalm 45. And as you mentioned, that's what's going on in the book of Hebrews. Hold fast and you'll be one of his partners. Believe what he's told you concerning your enemies and the trials that you go through. He's going to deliver you through these things.
That's good. Well, I was going to say, this theme is found in many other scriptures. For example, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't lose heart. Well, we need to continue on. Jesus said in Revelation 2:24, he who endures and keeps my works till the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And the Lord gave many parables about the need to persevere, like, for example, the parable of the minas in Luke 19. So this is a theme all through the New Testament and the Old Testament, too.
And we need to, as the author of Hebrews says, we need to hold fast and believe that promise.
Amen.
What a great encouragement that is for us to endure, as Bob was just talking about.
So what is it we need to do, Ken?
Keep
grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, Acts 2:34 and Ephesians 4:8, did the body or the being of David ascend into heaven or remain in Hades? Please join us, and in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.